Good morning.
Good morning.
Matthew chapter 6 and Numbers 16. Matthew chapter 6 and Numbers 13 this morning. We'll all stand together as you find Matthew 6. We'll quote our memory verse here. It's a very familiar verse. Most of us know it probably by memory. Matthew 6 verse 33. Matthew 6 33. It goes like this in song. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Without your Bibles, please. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's found in the Scriptures in Matthew 6:33. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Matthew 6:33. Let's pray this morning. As you find your place in Numbers 16, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity and privilege to be in Your house this morning. I pray, dear Lord, that You would help us this morning, dear Lord, to open the Word of God and allow us to be a part of the ministry here this morning as the Holy Spirit moves among us. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would speak through me. Allow me to be a vessel, clay in Your hands this morning, dear Lord, that You would allow, You would get the blessing and the honor and the glory for all that's done here. And help us as we sit here and listen to the Word of God taught, that I pray, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts and our lives, and that someone would hear today, dear Lord, realize something that needs to be changed in our lives and step forward by faith and change that one thing. As You've spoken in my heart this week, I pray that You would speak to others in Christ's name. Amen. Numbers chapter 16, we've been looking at the life of the descendants of Levi, and this week we come to one of the sons of Kohath, which was a son of Levi. Levi, again, had three sons. His sons were Gershon, Kohath, and Merariah. And those were the three sons of Levi. And today we're going to look at a descendant of Kohath and some of the things that happened in his life. And that begins in Numbers chapter 16. And as we looked last week, we saw where those families were all given specific responsibilities and tasks to manage within the tabernacle or outside of the tabernacle. As the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night moved, they were to break camp. And as they broke camp, those Levites by family were given specific responsibilities on articles within the temple or within the tabernacle or the walls or the sockets, as we saw last week, or the pins of the sockets. Every family was given a specific task. And today we come to one of those families in Numbers chapter 16. Let's look at the first three verses. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Here we're looking at a descendant of Levi. His name is Korah. And he's even mentioned in the New Testament as well, especially in the book of Jude. But here in Numbers 16, we see a story that's developing here. This whole chapter of Numbers 16 is about Korah and his decisions. So first we have to figure out, who is Korah? He is a Levite. He is a son of Izhar, which is the second son of Kohath, which is a son of Levi. Okay? He is a cousin of Moses and Aaron. He is family lineage, or the responsibility of the Kohathites, which he is a part of that family. As we saw last week in Numbers 1 through 3, their responsibilities were to take care of the Ark of the Covenant, take care of the table of the showbread, take care of the golden candlestick, all the altars, the vessels of the sanctuary, which would be really the vessels of the holy place and the holy of holies, and then the hangings or the tapestries and the curtains within the sanctuary. They had a very high responsibility in the tabernacle. So this is who Korah is. Why is he upset, though? He tells us here in Numbers 16 and verse 3, he says, "They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you." This is Korah and his gang, his group, his 250 people he's gathered together. And we'll look at this in detail in just a moment. But he's brought these 250 men, men of renown, famous men, and he takes them and he stands before Moses and Aaron. He says, "Ye, Moses and Aaron, take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." His family lineage was not of the priestly line. The Kohathites had multiple sons. There was four sons in the Kohathites. And of the first son was the sons of Amram. And who was the first son of Amram? Is Aaron. The second son of Amram is Moses. So that was the priestly line of the family of Kohath. And then you have the second son, which is Izhar, which is who Korah is from. And you have two more sons. So his family was not given the priestly line. His family lineages was also passed over when we saw in Numbers 3 last week, every family was given sort of the prince of the family or the leader of the family. And he's like, okay, well, we didn't get the priestly line. Let's go back to that. Look at that real quickly. Numbers 3. Numbers 3, it's good to have our eyes on what is happening here. In Numbers 3, and look in verse 27. Numbers 3 and verse 27, of Kohath was the family of the Amorites. Remember, Kohath was one of the sons of Levi, the second son of Levi. And of Kohath was the family of the Amorites, and the family of the Isharites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzalites. So those four sons of Kohath. Moses and Aaron are from Amram. And then this Korah that we're talking about today is from the second son, Izhar. So the Isharites. And the family of the Hebronites and the family of the Uzalites. These are the families of the Kohathites. And the number of all the males from a month old and upward were 8,600, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. The families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward. And the chief of the house of the father of the families of the Kohathites shall be Elizaphan, the son of Uzal, the fourth son, the youngest son, one of his descendants was given even the chief responsibility of the family. So even Izhar's family was passed over for the priestly line, but in the priestly duties, they were also passed over for the chief responsibilities of the family. So he's feeling slighted. Who are we? Why are we given any responsibilities? And they actually had been given responsibilities. All the articles of the tabernacle, the most holy articles. So he's upset. He says, we're not given the priestly line. We're not given the chief of the family. We're second born. Surely we would be chief of the family. They're skipped over there. And his family lineage does not have the place of prominence that the sons of Amram have or the sons of Uzal. So he's upset. So what does he do? Here we saw in verses 1 through 3, he starts grumbling to himself. And anything, when we start having a pity party, we start feeling down on ourselves, and we feel like we've been slighted, we start grumbling to ourselves, don't we? Come on, we all do it. We start grumbling to ourselves, and we start maybe just internally, we're just like, oh, we're frustrated, got passed over for a promotion, I not got the job I want, I didn't get the raise I wanted this year, I don't have the place and service in the church that I want. I start grumbling to myself. And those grumblings start seeping out. And they start going not just to yourself, but they start spreading in your home and in your house and here in your tent. So your whole family's affected. And now it's not just the sins of you, it's the sins of the family, because they're starting to say, well, listen to Dad, and Dad's the leader of the home, so we're going to start listening to Dad, and he's right. And so it's not just his own problem, now he got a family problem. So he starts grumbling to himself, and he starts grumbling around in his tent, and his family is hearing all this. And then he starts grumbling so others can hear him as well. He's just not satisfied being upset himself and being a sourpuss and saying, oh, woe is me. He said, I want other people to be infected with this. I want them to be on my side. And I want them to feel like I've been mistreated and we've been overlooked and we've been slighted. So he starts grumbling so others can hear him. Let's go back to number 16 now and look at this. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the sons of Peleth, sons of Reuben. Now it's not only affected his own family and his own people around him, it's affecting other tribes, his neighbors. Put that into your home. You start grumbling to yourselves, you start grumbling in your house, now you start grumbling to your neighbors. It starts spreading. This attitude of negativism starts spreading. So he starts grumbling. Remember last week, if you were here, we talked about they all had a specific place they were to pitch their tent around a tabernacle. Well, the Kohathites were to pitch their tent on the south side of the tabernacle. And all the Levites were given specific places around the tabernacle they were to pitch their tent. So we've got Moses and Aaron and his families right in front of the door of the tabernacle on the eastern side. But the Kohathites are on the south side directly behind, underneath the tabernacle. Guess who's directly below them? All the other tribes are camped around them, protecting them because they're the warring tribes. Guess who's directly below or beside the Kohathites? The Reubenites. So here he has grumbled so much and complained so much and has got all this negative energy and he's just Mr. Negative. It's affecting his neighbors next door, the Reubenites. So much so that some of the leaders of the Reubenites join his complaints and his griefs. And here they're listed for us: Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben. They took men and they rose up before Moses. So what does he do? He grumbles, he complains, he affects others, and he leads 250 leaders against Moses and Aaron in a plot to take over the tabernacle and its duties of the priestly line. That is what he's trying to do here in number 16. He is supposing that Moses and Aaron have lifted themselves up to this place of leadership. That's what he says in Numbers 16:3. Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. We're just as good as you are. We're Levites. We have the responsibility of being holy as well. We've chosen to be on the Lord's side, as we saw a few weeks ago. He goes on, though. He says, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then, lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Why have you, the leader and the high priest? That's his argument. So he comes here and he says, Korah and his rebellious gang of 250 princes of the assembly, watch out for treacherous talk among the tents. Watch out, because it's not just going to affect you. And I want to think of this in the line of a church. Watch out for grumblings against the pastor of your church and against the assistant pastor of your church and their families and against the teachers and the leadership of the church. Because what you're actually doing is grumbling against God, because God has placed those people in places of leadership in your church. I have been in churches where people have grumbled and complained. I'm sure you have. And they've sort of roasted the pastor on the way home. Well, guess who's in the car with you on your way home? Your children or your grandchildren. Or if you brought friends to church, they're hearing this. And that negative, treacherous talk is going to be tearing people apart. And you're starting really to go against God. Not just God's man, you're going against God. And that leads to church splits. I've been in the unfortunate instance of almost being involved in a church split. And I realized what was going on. I realized my actions could also cause that to be a split. So I had to go to my pastor and I said, I'm sorry, but I think it's best for me just to leave the church. Because I didn't like that they were not doing something scripturally. We had talked about it. This was not locally. This is further out in another state. And we talked about it, and I said, it's best interest of the whole church for me just to leave. Because I don't like the direction you're going. I'm not going to be a negative energy inside the church. I'm not going to be a grumbler inside the church. I must leave. We came to an understanding, and we left. Be careful of your treacherous words among the tents or among your homes. Korah and his rebellious gang, and these weren't just thugs. Look what the scriptures say about these men in verse 2. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. That means they were leaders of their assemblies, of their homes, of their tribes. Famous in the congregation, men of renown. He didn't just affect the lowlifes. He affected people that were actually doing something and leading in places of leadership. Korah's rebellious words and attitudes caused others to succumb to his mindset. What does our attitude, what are our words, what does our testimony lead others to do? You know you have that kind of influence over people? You know your words and your attitude and your testimony have that kind of influence over people? It does. Are you causing others to stumble because of your words or your actions? Are you causing others to quit serving God because of your words or actions? Your complaining spirit? Are you causing others to begin to have a mindset of rebellious words and attitudes? Careful. They gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. They gathered themselves together against God's men. God had placed Moses in his position. If you remember back in Exodus, Moses made every excuse he could think of not to serve God. And God says, you're still my man. God placed Moses in his position. And then we saw, as through this study, we have seen how God spoke and called Aaron and said, you are my man. Your family, from you and onward, your sons will be the high priest in the tabernacle and in the temple. And how they had to choose God, and they did. They are standing up against God's men. They accuse Moses and Aaron of lifting themselves up into a position of leadership and authority where it was really God placing them in a position. So they're not just complaining and grumbling against God's man. They're complaining against God. And we're going to see that. Careful where your rebellious words will take you, but careful where your rebellious words lead into actions. Because that's where it goes next. Your actions then cause others to have the same actions. Your words lead others to words of regret. Oh, I wish I had never said that. I wish I had never done that. I wish I had never, whatever. Excuse me. Are your actions directing people towards God and towards God's man, or away from God and away from God's man? Look with me in verse 4. When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Moses is like, here, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do to prove God. Take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, the sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation and minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both you and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, "Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." And Moses said unto Korah, "Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense therein. And bring ye before the Lord every man his censer and 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer." Moses knows that he has been called by God. And he has been placed in this position. He humbles himself. We saw in verse 4. He humbled himself before the Lord. He falls reverently to the ground and is really probably praying here for God to have mercy on these people. But here Moses, through God's guiding, administers a test. And this test is a test of the censers. And they're just some type of object that can hold the fire from an altar, and it burns the coals, and it sends incense up into the heavens. Now they have these special censers and incense burners that are in the holy place, which Aaron and his sons would use. But here Korah and all them must have had some type of object that they could have put coals in. Now it would not have been a coals from the holy place, it would have been their own coals. And it's offering up incense to God. So they minister tests. He says, "Every one of you, 250, I want all of you to bring a censer with these fire coals in it, offer an incense to God. And we'll see who God chooses." In verse 9, there's quite a list here in verse 9. Anytime the Bible separates things into commas and lists, take notice. Moses questions Korah here in verse 9. It says, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel?" That's a pause there. He says, does it seem like a small thing to you that you've been pulled aside out of the congregation of Israel to serve God? That's not a little thing. That's not a light thing. We looked last week at those sockets and the pins. Can you imagine being the family that was responsible to hold all the pins of all the rods that held up the walls of the tabernacle? To them, it might have been a small thing. It's like, man, we're not significant at all. We have no job of importance. We're not carrying the Ark of the Covenant or the golden candlestick. We're taking care of and managing these pins that hold up the socket walls. Well, if they didn't have the pins, they couldn't put up the sockets and put up the poles and hold up the fence that blocked out everybody from the tabernacle of God. They did have a important position. In God's eyes, every position is important if you're serving Him correctly and doing it because He's called you to do that task and you're doing it because you love Him. Every task. But here they are, there's like, Moses is like, "Do you think it's a small thing? Does it seem a small thing to you that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel?" Well, to Korah, yeah. I'm not responsible enough. I don't have a position of importance enough. I want to be a priest. I want to be the priest. And he goes on in verse 9. He says, "To bring you near to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord," but to bring you near to Himself first. He says He's separated you, then He brings you near to Himself, and then to do the service of the tabernacle. Do you think that's a small thing? No. And he goes on, "And to stand before the congregation to minister unto them." You and your position are above others, leading them and directing them and helping them to see God. But Korah doesn't see it that way. And he goes to the next verse, though, and this is where it really strikes home to me. In verse 10 he says, "And he brought thee near to Him." He has brought us near to Himself. And he goes on, he says, "All thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee." Not only just you, Korah, not only you and your little group, but But all the sons of Levi he has brought to himself. And we all have a place of ministry and service to God. And he goes on and he says, and seek ye the priesthood also. The thought when I read that verse was, why aren't we satisfied with the will of God for our lives? Why are we always constantly seeking something better? I wish I had her position. I wish I had his position. I wish I had that place of authority. I wish I had that place. I wish I had that place. I wish I had that job. I wish I had that income. I wish I had that car. I wish I had that house. Why are we not satisfied for the will of God for our lives? That's Korah's problem. He wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. He wanted to be the high priest. And that was not God's will for his life. He says, you are not satisfied. Because it says, ye seek the priesthood also, in verse 10. And then in verse 11, he says, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together. See, now you're gathering against, watch what it says. Because we saw, he says, you're gathering, verse 2, he says, you gather, well, let's go back and look at it. It says, verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now look what it says in verse 11. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. You've come against God. You're not satisfied with the will of God for your life, and now you're saying, I'm gathering against God. I'm unhappy, God. I want something more. I want to do more for you, and I want his position or her position. That's not God's will for your life. And then it says, verse 11, and what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? He is the priest. He is the leader spiritually of the flock. You know, Moses is the prophet. Aaron is the high priest. And he is in a place of authority for spiritual worship. He says, why are you murmuring against God's man? You're not satisfied with the will of God for your life. So they have this test. These censers are placed. These 250 censers are placed at the door of the tabernacle. They say, okay, God, we're waiting for you to show us what's God going to do when those question his authority. Look with me in Numbers 16, 18. And we just don't have enough time to read the whole chapter here, but we go from Numbers 18 through verse 35. We see this test and how God is going to test who he has called. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid the licensed incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation. It's not just the 250 princes now. Korah's gone out and got the whole congregation. Come watch how God's going to choose me to be the next high priest. Come watch me. I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be the man of authority. Come watch. Verse 19, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses. You don't speak to Korah. He speaks unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Just don't have time to talk about all that's going on right here. Another lesson. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? With all the congregation, not just the 250, not just Korah and his group and his gang. Moses and Aaron are praying here to God and say, please forgive them for this one man's sin, the sin of one man. Wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And it goes on through verse 35, and it comes back to verse 41 through the end of the chapter, verse 15, it's talking about the judgments that God places upon His people when they question His authority. And the first judgment is Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their families. The earth opens and swallows them whole, alive. And you go, if you read, go back tonight or this afternoon and read this portion of Scripture, and Moses is like, I'm going to show you that it's not me doing this judging, it's God doing this judging. And He could do something that I cannot do. And He's going to open the earth and it's going to swallow these families alive. And it's going to close them. God judged those that questioned His authority. And then in the latter part of the chapter, there's another judgment against people that question God's authority, and it's a plague. And that's when Aaron's standing among the living and the dead. Verses 41 through 50. But I want to show you something here before we run out of time. When you call on the Lord and you ask for forgiveness and you ask for repentance and you repent from your sin and you ask for mercy, is God going to withhold that? No, He can't. It's not in His character to withhold that. If you ask God to forgive you, He will forgive you. You believe that? So if you have been in a situation as Korah has been, or some of the counterparts of Korah here, if you ask for forgiveness, God's going to forgive you. And it happens here. Look back with me in verse 1. See who Korah gathers together. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelah, sons of Reuben, took men. So we have Kohath, we have Dathan, we have Abiram, and we have On. Now go over to verse number 16:12. Who is listed? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. And before this, he was talking to Korah. So in verse 8, he says, and said unto Korah, here I pray you, the sons of Levi, go with, look at me with verse 24. Speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from the tabernacles of who? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Who's missing? On is missing. Keep going. Look at verse 25. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan, and Abiram, the elders of Israel, followed him. And of course, Korah is involved in verse 27. It says, and they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. Does it say anything about On? He's not there. Numbers. Ooh, why do you see this? Numbers 26. Numbers 26 and verse number 9. Numbers 26 and verse 9, the Word of God says, and the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram, this is Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they strove against the Lord. Who's missing? On. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. Stop there. On had to be asked for forgiveness because he is not included in these lists. Somewhere On said, whoa, y'all have gone too far. Step back away from them because God's going to judge them. On and his family step away from the judgment of God by asking for forgiveness. They have to, or they would have been included here in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, and in Chronicles, where all these are listed. They had to have asked for forgiveness. It's not a mistake in the Word of God that they're not listed here. But let's go a step further. Continue with me in Numbers 26 and verse number 10. As we saw, let me read it to you. Numbers 16, it said in verse 27, they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents. Who came out and stood in the door of their tents? Dathan and Abiram, okay? And their wives and their sons and their little children. Now, Numbers 26 and verse 10, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. So Korah, Abiram, and Dathan have died, and the 250 men that rose up against with them. But look at verse 11. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. Now, if you looked at number 16, it says, they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. It doesn't say Korah's children stood outside among the tents. It says Dathan and Abiram's wives and little children did. Korah's children asked for forgiveness. Somehow they are not included in the judgment of God. And in the Old Testament days that the father sinned and the family didn't do what they were supposed to do, we could go back to look at the book of Joshua and the sins there. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head. But he took garments from the battles of Jericho and he hid them in his tent. Achan, thank you. And he took them and he hid them and his whole family was stoned. Korah's children didn't die. What happened to Korah's children? It says they did not die with their father. Either they were not party to their father's sin, or they repented prior to the earth opening up. The descendants of Korah, which have to be his children, the descendants of Korah, guess what? They became famous in the time of David and are often mentioned throughout the Psalms as musicians before the Lord in David's time. But more than that, in 1 Chronicles, we'll close here, in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, I'm just showing you how when you call on the Lord and repent, mercy and forgiveness follow. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, look with me in verse 17. How I love all the list of names in the Word of God. People read right over those begats, they read right over those names, but they mean something or they wouldn't be included in our preserved, inspired Word of God. And it says here in 1 Chronicles 9 and verse 17, and the porters were Shelum and Ichabod and Talmon, and Ahiman, and their brethren, Shalom, was the chief, who hitherto waited in the king's gate eastward. They were porters in the companies of the children of Levi. And Shalom, the son of Korah, it's the same person, Korah, it's spelled different. And Shalom was the chief, and Shalom was the son of Korah, the son of Abiasaph, the son of Korah, and his brethren, and of the house of his father, the Korathites. You can't have Korathites unless you have ites. Korah's children should have died in the tent, and there would be no more Korahs. No more Korathites. Well, here we have Korathites. Look what God gave them. They were over the work of the service, keepers of the gates of the tabernacle. And their fathers, being over the host of the Lord, were keepers of the entry. When they asked for forgiveness, they were not included in the judgment of God. And not only were they permitted to live, but they were given back their God-ordained place in the community. By David's time, they still held their entitled positions. They were the gatekeepers, keeping the thresholds of the tent, as their fathers had been in charge of the camp of the Lord, keepers of the entrance. Look with me as we close in verse 31 of 1 Chronicles 9, verse 31. And Mathathiah, one of the Levites, who was the firstborn of Shelem, which was, again, the chief of the Korathites, was the firstborn of Shelem, the Korathite, had the set office over the things that were made in the pans. And other of their brethren and of their sons of the Kohathites were over the showbread and to prepare every Sabbath. And these are the singers, chief of the father of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free, for they were employed in that work day and night. These chief fathers of the Levites were chief throughout their generations. These dwelt at Jerusalem. The Korathites asked for forgiveness. And God, when you ask for forgiveness from God, no matter how bad the sin is, He is going to forgive you. And they were given back their place plus positions. They became singers in the court for David's time. We could look at all the Psalms 42 through 87 or 88. They're given a place of music inside the tabernacle and inside the temple of Solomon in the future, a place of service. Even though their father led a rebellious group against the men of God, they would have been killed with their father in the tent, as well as with On and his family. But they were spared. Go back and look up On and see where his family went. Go back and look at the Psalms 42 or 47 through 88 and look for those Korathites. God preserved them and He blessed their lives because they asked for forgiveness and they respected God's man. Lord, we thank You so much. How I rushed through this, Lord. I pray the message and the lesson came through. How we should not stand against God's men. How we should not go against You and Your authority. I pray, dear Lord, You'd help us to ask for forgiveness and repent from that sin that You might give us back a place of serving You. And help us just to take up those sockets. Help us to take up those pins. Whatever You've given us to do, help us to take it up and do it with all our might, because we're doing it not for our pastor, we're doing it for You and serving You. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Christ's name.